Hey everyone, welcome into another episode of a must-win game today. It's just me giving you a little stock up, stock down, and let's get right into it. Stock down, Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, Joe Burrow was at a press conference earlier this week, and he started talking about the urgency that everyone is feeling in the Bengals locker room. Obviously, Cincinnati has not made the playoffs in the last three seasons. A few of those, Joe Burrow was actually healthy for. The defense has obviously been the biggest issue, but they threw a lot of money and resources towards fixing that this offseason. So Burrow, someone who's always been honest with the media, has been talking about just how much urgency there is. And while he said it's for the players, it's for the coaches, and then at the end he kind of said, and I feel like I'm even playing for my job this year. Well, that is disingenuous, because nobody has more power in the organization than Joe Burrow. And he exercised that power by getting Ja'Marr Chase paid, although they would be fools not to pay him anyways, one of the best receivers in the NFL, but also to get T. Higgins paid. And that took a lot of money and put it towards the offensive side of the ball. And predictably, the defense was simply not good enough. Now they actually have put resources towards the defensive side of the ball. Zach Taylor, the head coach, I'm not sure if he makes it to the bye week after Joe Burrow's comments in this press conference. Zach Taylor already comes into the season on the hot seat. He is shockingly going into year 8. They have made the playoffs 2 times out of 8 seasons. His coaching record, 52-63. Now, to Zach Taylor's credit, they are 5-2 in the playoffs, but he only has 2 playoff runs to his name. And again, this is about to be year 8. And when Joe Burrow starts talking about urgency, well, they already fired the defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, 2 seasons ago. Al Golden has been the defensive coordinator for the last 2 years. And if things get off the rails at the beginning of the year, well, Zach Taylor is going to be gone. Cincinnati has their bye week, week 6. 3 out of the first 5 teams they play were playoff teams a year ago, although they opened the season with Tampa Bay, who missed the playoffs last year, but they actually are a good team. And if Baker Mayfield is healthy, then that's going to be a really good game. Baker generally gets off to really good starts. The only team they play that did not make the playoffs last year is Miami, who they play before the bye week, but then they play Baltimore coming out of the bye on the road, division matchup. So challenging. They're also at Houston week 2, at Pittsburgh in week 3, and then Jacksonville at home week 4. Again, if this gets off to a bad start, I could see this team absolutely firing Zach Taylor in the bye week. And I think Joe Burrow did not do him any favors. And maybe some of the other Bengals coaches. I was just taking a look at some of the Bengals coaches as far as their depth chart goes. Did you know that the Bengals special teams coordinator has been with the team for 24 years? I can't imagine a coach really outside of Pittsburgh being able to stay with one organization for 24 years. So all through the Marvin Lewis era and now all through the Zach Taylor era, Dan Pitcher, who is the offensive coordinator, this is his 11th season on the coaching staff. There's a lot of guys who have been around for a really long time. And so not to call any of them out or call for their jobs. Obviously, Zach Taylor's in the big seat, so he gets all of the scrutiny. But these are guys who have been in this organization through not a lot of success. The Marvin Lewis era with Andy Dalton was known for making the playoffs and never being able to win a playoff game. Then you have this amazing sort of spike where you make the Super Bowl against the Rams. Joe Burrow actually has the ball in his hands, a final drive to go win the biggest game of all of their lives. And we all remember what happened then. Aaron Donald shut the door on the Cincinnati Bengals, and they obviously lost. And they haven't come anywhere close since that Super Bowl. So Zach Taylor, got to go stock down. Joe Burrow has made your seat even hotter, if that was possible. We know that it's not Burrow whose ass is on the line. It certainly is Zach Taylor's. One other small thing, except for Joe Burrow's loyalty to the Ohio area because he's from there. I really don't see how this is not in play. And I don't see how the Rams wouldn't be the front runners here. Now, them selecting Ty Simpson in the first round maybe threw a little bit of a wrench in that plan, but you've got Matthew Stafford for this year. You likely have Ty Simpson starting next year. If Ty Simpson looks like he might not have the ceiling that the Rams think that he does, well, then Joe Burrow could just slide right in and you're still going to have Ty Simpson on a rookie deal. So he's not going to be expensive and he could be a backup because Joe Burrow gets hurt a lot. To me, this is almost no brainer. And I've thought about this a lot because, as you guys know, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. And I always wonder if Josh Allen is ever going to feel like, listen, I've done all I can in Buffalo. I need a change of scenery. And if he would want to get to the LA Rams, like everyone should want to get to Sean McVay, because look what happened to Stafford. I mean, Stafford's entire legacy, his entire career completely changed when he left Detroit to go to LA. When he left Detroit, not only was he not a Super Bowl champion, he was not a Hall of Famer. Now Stafford is a no-doubt Hall of Famer. He's got a Super Bowl. He's got the MVP on top of it. They're the Super Bowl favorites far and wide this year. I already told you I'm fading the Rams, but it's all setting up on paper to be a really great season for LA. So between Joe Burrow, between Josh Allen, between Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville, I think this is all in play. I think any quarterback who's playing in a smaller market will absolutely try to find their way to get to the Rams at some point because Sean McVay has shown that he is a legacy changer. So to me, stock down Zach Taylor and a little of what maybe what lies ahead for the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's move on. Another stock down. This one to Deshaun Watson. I mean, we could do 100 years of stock downs to Deshaun Watson for a variety of reasons, but this is a fresh one. So Deshaun Watson, who is healthy now, allegedly in a quarterback battle with Shedeur Sanders, although I imagine he's going to win that battle, talking to the media after a pretty unimpressive preseason game. Now, maybe the guy should be graded on a curve considering he has tore his Achilles tendon two times. Tore the Achilles, retore it. Now he's trying to come back from a double Achilles tear. I mean, I know science and medical technology is getting better, but this is going to be a tough hill to climb. So maybe he doesn't beat out Shedeur Sanders. I don't know. The Cleveland Browns, though, made obviously a massive mistake with Deshaun Watson, but that's not why he gets the stock down. He gets the stock down because he was up at the podium and he was asked about getting booed by the home fans in Cleveland. And he said, well, I know that this isn't about how I was playing. I know that it's more personal than that. And then he went on to kind of chastise the Browns fans who he says cheered when he went down with an Achilles injury. Listen, this is probably personal because when you have 27 women who accuse you of improprieties and you settle all of those cases with confidential settlements, you're probably not going to be looked at as the greatest guy. However, football fans are insanely forgiving. Sports fans, we literally will forgive people who murdered people and we'll buy their jerseys and we will cheer for them. It's a sickness. That's a story for another day. But Deshaun Watson, it could be about the football. Now, is he right to say it's probably about more? Sure. But let's just look at the facts. The first season that he gets to Cleveland, he's suspended for 11 games. The next season, he misses 11 games due to injury. The next season, he misses 10 games due to injury. And this entire past year, all 17 games, he missed because he tore his Achilles and then re-tore it. Not only did the Browns jettison Baker Mayfield, which I think some people are still pretty upset about, some fans, they traded away 3 first-round picks to get Deshaun Watson along with a third and 2 fours. They gave him a 5-year, $230 million contract that's fully guaranteed. He's making $12 million per game, and he hasn't been very good. So for Deshaun Watson, listen, is it going to be a very complicated situation between you and the fan base? Yeah, because you were a guy in Houston. In two out of their four seasons in Houston, he threw for over 4,000 yards, demanded a trade, then all of the massage therapist improprieties, the allegations kind of came to light. He missed an entire season. But before that, he was a three-time Pro Bowler who, again, threw for over 4,000 yards in two of those seasons. The last year before he sat out, he threw for nearly 5,000 yards, 4,800 yards and 33 touchdowns to only go with 7 interceptions. I mean, he was thought of as being one of the great young quarterbacks in the league. And look at everything that has transpired since. So yeah, you're going to get some boos. And the thing about Deshaun Watson is to be defiant when you're up there, and clearly he's holding this grudge against the Cleveland Brown fans, like, because he heard boos when he tore his Achilles. You're never going to win when you fight the fan base, ever. It's always a losing proposition. And so you can never go back at the fans. Now, he's got one more year left. Again, he's in a quarterback battle with Shador Sanders. The Browns have a ton of picks for next year. The quarterback for 2027 for the Browns is the starting quarterback, most likely in college this year. So we all know where this is headed. There are so many things to not like about Deshaun Watson, and this is another one, because if you're going to be defiant against the fan base, who is going to potentially take a chance on you in your next stop, if that exists at all? And I was thinking about this because a guy makes $230 million in one contract. I mean, obviously you'd say, well, that's an amazing career, but has it been? Again, he was trending towards being one of the great young quarterbacks in the league. And then because he asked for a trade and then all these other things came to light about the massage therapist, it's gone completely off the rails. And, you know, I guess you could just say, I got my $230 million, so everyone else can just take a seat and shut up. But, you know, guys get into this to, yes, make money. But Deshaun Watson is, I imagine, someone who thought that he'd be playing for something much bigger than just the paycheck. Obviously, the paycheck is great, but I bet he thought he was going to be included in, you know, the conversation with the Josh Allens and the Patrick Mahomeses. He probably thought he was going to be, like, talked about as one of the great quarterbacks of the generation. And now look at where it's gone. It still boggles my mind. Big time stock down for Deshaun Watson. All right, let's keep it moving. Next up, stock up. Every team that missed out on Shohei Ohtani when he was a free agent last time. I really find it silly how confident people seem to be that the Dodgers are not getting sold. Has anyone read how the sale of the LA Lakers actually came to be? Is anyone even, I'm not asking you to get a subscription to the Wall Street Journal and all of a sudden become an expert in insurance fraud allegations. But Mark Walter, he's in deep. He's up to his neck in potential legal issues. And he flipped the Lakers because he needs cash. And even the money that he made from the Lakers, at least from what I'm reading, this doesn't seem like nearly enough. We're talking billions upon billions that he has to pay back. I mean, he potentially could see jail time. Although, I don't know if billionaires ever, do they really go to jail? I don't know. But anyway, Mark Walter is in major trouble. And yet, people in Major League Baseball and people around sports say, oh no, but he would never sell the Dodgers. That's his first love. His first love has got to be freedom. His first love has got to be getting out of this quagmire that he finds himself in. Who cares about the Dodgers at this point if you're looking at potential jail time? Nobody loves a sports team that much. People are so adamant that he would not sell the Dodgers. That doesn't pass the smell test one bit. The Dodgers, if you think the valuation of the Lakers is high, how about the Dodgers? You're the back-to-back champs. You have Shohei Ohtani. We'll get to that in a minute. You still have this sweetheart TV deal that has allowed you to spend money in the way that they have. One of the reasons why. The potential insurance fraud might be the other reason. The Dodgers will be worth, I don't even know. Can you even venture a guess? The Lakers just got flipped and sold for $12.5 billion. Now, I understand there's going to be a new CBA in Major League Baseball. I think that would make the cost go up for the LA Dodgers, because the next owner, if they do get sold, is going to have some kind of cost certainty. They're not going to have to spend in the way that the Dodgers have spent. They won't be allowed to if there is going to be some kind of salary cap or whatever they're going to call it in Major League Baseball. So now all of a sudden, I think you do see the valuations on these baseball teams start to go like up like they did with the NBA teams and like football teams. Anyone who has a salary cap where you know your fixed costs into the future, the value is going to go way, way up. ESPN reported, there was an ESPN reporter, Tim McMahon, who said that NBA teams are on Luka watch, right? Because they are seeing whether or not Luka is going to be happy or unhappy with the new Lakers ownership. His contract extension is only for 3 years. So now the vultures are out and they're just waiting to see if they could sort of poach Luka Doncic away. Because remember, he didn't choose the Lakers. He got traded there. Now there are worse places to go, but again, not his choice. And now there's been all of this upheaval. So could another team swoop in and maybe take Luka Doncic? Okay. In a couple of years. I don't understand why the teams who missed out on Shohei Ohtani would not be doing the exact same thing, or at least not think that they have a shot at getting Shohei Ohtani. Now, here's some of the details. Shohei Ohtani has this highly deferred contract. So it was a 10-year deal, $700 million. He takes a $2 million salary every year. $68 million of it gets deferred. And he will collect that money between 2034 and 2043 when his contract expires. Now, there is a clause in his contract. It's called a key man clause. And that says, and this has been reported now several places, ESPN, The Athletic, and others, if Mark Walter, the owner, who's in trouble, or Andrew Friedman, the general manager, maybe he's the president, whatever his title is, the architect of the team, If either of those men leave the Dodgers, it can trigger an opt-out for Shohei Ohtani. I wouldn't put my money on Mark Walter being with this organization for much longer. I don't know. That's just me. Shohei Ohtani has already made over $200 million in deferred money. He gets that money no matter what. But if Mark Walter leaves, or if Andrew Friedman leaves, by the way, who... He could say, listen, I don't like all this instability that's going on with Mark Walter. I'm out of here. Would Shohei Ohtani not reopen his free agency? And you say, well, Maggie, new collective bargaining, he might not be able to make as much money as he did before because there could be new rules. Have we not learned that A, Shohei Ohtani is willing to play ball here, no pun intended, about the money? He makes so much in endorsements that he's willing to defer $700 million in money for over a decade. Juan Soto didn't do that. The other thing, we don't know what Shohei Ohtani's thinking. And hasn't that become abundantly clear that this guy is a mystery? Okay? This is not your average baseball player. Here's an example. Nobody on the Dodgers knew. Not only that Shohei Ohtani got married a couple off seasons ago, nobody knew that he was dating somebody. Think about that. You work with somebody, you travel all the time with them. Okay, maybe they speak a different language, but they've got an interpreter there. You're the star of the team. You're a big part of the team. You're not just like bit player. You've got all these guys in a major league clubhouse. Think about it. A guy shows up one day and he's just married. You had no idea he even had a girlfriend. Nobody knows what Shohei Ohtani is thinking. That's what I'm getting at. And so I can read all the reports. Sources close to Shohei say he's not going to opt out. They don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows what Shohei is thinking. And Shohei has also showed by his actions that he is willing to take less money, take deferred money, as long as it means you're reinvesting in the team. And you know what? I don't know if the Dodgers are going to be able to do that once the dust settles on all this ownership drama. So to me, stock up to everyone who was pursuing Shohei Ohtani before he picked the Dodgers in free agency. So I'm looking at the Yankees. I'd be looking at the Mets in this situation. I would be looking at the Toronto Blue Jays in this situation. This could be gigantic if Mark Walter or if Andrew Friedman decide to leave the organization. So if the vultures are around Luka Doncic, the vultures should also be around Shohei Ohtani. Okay, that's going to do it for another episode of A Must-Win Game. Thank you so much to everyone who has hit subscribe on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AMustWinGame. You can follow me on social media at Maggie Gray on Twitter, at Maggie Talk Sports on Instagram. And thank you to everyone who left such nice comments when I filled in for Sal Licata on SNY hosting Baseball Night in New York. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for leaving a nice word, a nice kind thought. Really appreciate that. It is very fun to talk some New York baseball on that show. So I see you out there, and just want to say a big thank you. See you next time.